Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, May 16th, 2013. We have Wendy Wilson joining us in just a few moments, since it's her day, for the first segment of the program. She always brings some great information. But first, we're going to do a quick update on the markets. Gold today, it struggled, but we're looking at gold down 580 at 1387. Early morning trading, they had it down $30, and so she slowly climbed her way back. You had silver, it's up 12 cents at 2281. We had a low of 2225. Platinum was down $8 at 1488. Along with palladium, up $12 at $743. USDX today, that was all over the page. It was down much more earlier in the day. It's only down a 0.01 at 83.78. Crude oil continues to climb, hanging out around $95 a barrel. Markets today, the paper markets, they were mixed a little bit today. You had the Dow falling 44 points at 15,233. The NASDAQ down 6 at 3465. The S&P 500 down 8 at 1650. And the 10-year yield that started moving back down a little bit, 1.86 on the yield. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Give us a call, folks, at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter, and you can listen to archives on the website. And Wendy Wilson. We'd like to introduce Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs.
Hello, Melody. Hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I forgot to say hi to Al. Hi, Al.
Well, that's all right, Melody. Hi, Melody.
Hi, Al.
I was hoping I could just kind of hide, and I wouldn't actually have to say anything on this program, but all right, fine, I'll just sit back.
No, I can't imagine that would happen, Al. You know, you have
it's not impossible.
You have to tell us how to build watches.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Oh, I only have to explain that to people who don't know what time it is.
Okay. How are you doing today, Wendy?
I'm doing well. I hear you have another health question from a listener.
Yes, we do. Laura sent me an email, and she's over 60. She'd give me the age, but a little over 60. And she's currently on thyroid medication, and she lost a great deal of her hair. It's beginning to grow back, but slowly. And she wanted to know if there's anything that she can do to speed the growth. She says she can't quit her medication, but is there a supplement that she could use in addition to
her medication? Well, I have some ideas, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, you know, because all of us are a little different. A lot of medication out there, though, can encourage hair loss or what we call shedding and thinning, and there's more and more women with that problem these days. If it were me, Laura, if it were me with this problem, I would definitely do all I could to pump up the thyroid to get that action, that function of the thyroid back. There are some things you could do naturally. One of the things the thyroid likes is natural iodine. It is a food for the thyroid gland, and this is why they found out when they took all the nutrition out of salt, people got goiters, and they had to put the iodine back in. So if you get some natural iodine, though, from seaweed or black walnuts, got to have the highest concentration, that'll perk up the thyroid. And those that are on the thyroid medicines find that their doctors have to lower their medication dose, so that's a good thing. And that in itself could help with the hair loss. The other thing that I had learned in herb school from a bunch of people who swore that this worked was onion juice. You apply it to the scalp. So I know that, you know, you can't run out to the store and just get onion juice. It's something you're going to have to make. And so typically you could just get a bunch of onions. White onions are going to be hotter, so I don't know if you want that on the scalp. So your yellow onion's fine. And I would just throw some in a blender with a little vinegar and kind of whisk them around and, you know, make them all pulpy and then strain out the pulp and collect the juice. And you can kind of add that as a hair rinse and then, you know, let it sit on the hair, on the scalp, and, you know, finish bathing and then wash your hair normally. And that will take care of any onion aroma, but it allows it to permeate the scalp. But they say that stops hair loss and encourages new follicle growth. So onion juice is what I got to say, Laura. Go with it.
Man, you're going to be crying through your...
Well...
Will the vinegar cut that symptom down? I mean, as far as tearing you?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, my grandmother said, you know, rinse your hair in vinegar and it'll be shiny. And she was right, you know. And so vinegar tends to make the hair really sleek and silky. And just, you know, I guess the acids in the vinegar kind of cut through all the oils and things that you probably don't need on the hair, because you need the oils at the scalp area, but not so much down on the hair. So vinegar, I've tried vinegar straight up, like the Bragg, which is really potent. Just close your eyes, Melanie, in the shower, you know, leave them open, and you'll be okay, you know?
Does that work for men?
I would assume it would, yeah. I didn't hear that it didn't work for one or the other. It's just, you know, general, that's what they do in the natural areas, onion mm-hmm. juice. It tends to clean out that waxy buildup that tends to get on the hair shaft and mm-hmm. kind of mucks up the follicle a bit and encourages hair loss. So the vinegar and the onion tend to cut through that.
Well, I want to thank Laura for sending in her question. And, folks, if you have any questions for Wendy, you can either direct them to her. She can give out her email address or send them to discount at questions@dgscoins.com.
Hey, you had another question about salmon, didn't you? Salmon?
Yes, I did. I didn't know if you wanted to address that, but there was a lot of information about these GM salmon. Or the fresh farms,
right,
the water
right.
farms.
And it creates a problem. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, wild-caught fish is going to be healthier. These fish farms tend to be growing, or they seem to have conditions that are more conducive to attracting parasites to the fish. And this, and there's like, they call them fish lice or louse. And what it is, it's a parasite. And And there's like, they call them sea lice is another term. And there's like 13 different species of sea lice that attach themselves to the fish's skin or to the fins of the fish. And then they kind of just feed off the tissue of the fish. And unfortunately, what they're running into problems now, especially in British Columbia and Canada, is the parasites are working their way into the fish and then to the fish's heart. And turning it into jelly. And so the fish are dying even before they spawn. And that creates a problem, as you know, for the bears, because then they don't have any food and they need to hibernate. So it's a problem. It's an ecosystem problem. And it's all because of these, you know, farm hatcheries that don't allow the fish to swim around like they normally do. And that helps prevent a lot of those parasites is, you know, when these fish get to travel and swim and you got them all caged up, it's a problem. Plus they're feeding them terrible stuff, a lot of heavy metals and stuff in the fish food they use.
What's the effect, if any, from radiation from the Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan on salmon in the North Pacific,
yeah,
off the coast of British Columbia, Alaska, and so on. Is this a significant problem?
Well, it depends on the news source you look at. Some of them say yes, some of them say no. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things you're just going to have to check and hopefully you'll get a, you know, somebody on the West Coast that, you know, give you the truth about that. I know they had some readings in Alaska. I know that even some of the flight attendants that fly in and out on the West Coast had some issues with health problems they thought were linked to the Fukushima thing. So, you know, it just depends on the news outlet, Al.
Well, I understand trying to get straight answers is a difficult. There's no end to the answers and theories and speculation, but trying to get through and find out what's really going on is sometimes difficult. And even then, you can read serious research and you can find one apparently serious scientist that's going to come up with one conclusion and another one who is equally sincere come up with a different conclusion. And I don't know. Here's one for you.
Okay.
Go on antibiotics. There's record high antibiotic sales for meat and poultry production. I'm looking at an article right now. It says that antibiotic overuse is breeding new resistant strains of bacteria that infect people. But industrial farms haven't gotten the message. In 2011, 29.9 million pounds of antibiotics were sold in the United States for meat and poultry production, but only 7.7 million pounds of antibiotics were sold for people, for sick people. And what we have is people are giving antibiotics to animals, not merely when they get sick, but they're also giving them to the animals as a preventative. They're using, we're going to give the animals some antibiotics, even if they don't need them, just in case they do get sick. And the, what does this imply? Is this good business, bad business? Are we going to live to regret it, or is it no problem?
Oh, we're living to regret it, all right. And, you know, all those antibiotics, they come out in the fertilizer, if you're talking about, you know, farm animals like cows. They spread that over the crops and we get problems there. So I mean, yeah, it's an accumulative effect, Al. It's really bad. And it kind of goes with the new thing coming out of the UN with their report of this month, where they say they want to help with the starving populaces of the globe. They say world hunger can be anywhere from 800 to 925 million, as high as 1.2 billion people are starving. So now they think they have a solution to this. Let them eat bugs is the whole thing. Bugs, lots of protein. You know, bugs, and more bugs. And so that's pretty much what the agencies are promoting in their new report. A lot of countries like the Asian Philippines, Thailand, they eat bugs. So it's no biggie in some of the parts of the world to, you know, you know, kind of just put some bugs on your plate, a little garnish, and you're all set. But, you know, over here in America, we kind of think that's kind of disgusting. But we're being told, no, it's not disgusting, Al. It's a delicacy. Got to change the way you think here.
I understand. It's all just a certain amount of spin, and everybody's going to be eating, who knows, nothing like a tasty spider. We can serve them for appetizers before we settle down for a dinner of what? Maybe Soylent Green. We can have a couple of insects for appetizers, and then we can have some Soylent Green. If you remember the movie, I don't know if you do or not.
Yeah,
Soylent Green was the name of the food that they were serving in. Oh, futuristic movie came out in maybe the 60s, maybe the 70s. I don't recall, but in fact, it was composed of people. They were grinding up people and making food out of them, and they called it Soylent Green. And a lot of people say, oh, we would never do that, but just as they eat insects in the Philippines, they eat people down in New Guinea and Indonesia.
Yeah.
And it's just, we solved the – this is the solution to the problem, Wendy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
See, we supply food to the hungry, and we reduce the population, so people, you know, the people aren't starving so much, and it's all done by cannibalism. Very simple solution.
I know, but you know, the UN had 10. They thought 10 good reasons why we should, you know, don't worry about, you know, having animal food. Go with the bugs. And one was nutrition, and then another reason was per pound, it's more productive to raise bugs for protein than the moo cow. Also, it'll reduce the need of those animal antibiotics you mentioned, as well as growth hormones and slaughterhouses, not to mention that the bug raising uses less, you know, the planet's resources, less water, about 1,000 times less water to water your bugs than you would your cow. Also, FDA's already allowing 150 insect fragments per 100 grams, that's equivalent to 3.5 ounces, in your processed foods. So what's the big deal, right? Also, most world cultures already eating the bugs anyway, and they're going to be deemed a food crop. So get ready for that, Al. It's going to reduce the use of pesticides, and bugs taste good. They say that the bug larvae taste like bacon. Okay. Animal rights activists will also be happy. And, of course, bug protein is an inexpensive greenhouse source. It'll save starving people, and it'll save the planet. What do you say to that?
I say it's all a matter of just packaging this idea and selling it to the public. You know, we used to have roach hotels where the roaches check in, but they don't. We will now call them hungry man dinners. You understand? When it's time for dinner, the little wife can just spread a couple of roach hotels out there on the floor. We'll capture some roaches and bang. Hello, hubby, here's your dinner.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's all right. It's, you know, right up there with the Jiffy Pop, you know. All right. You know, hey, cows and pigs are said to be SUVs, and now the bugs are more like your Toyota Prius, according to David Gracier, Small Stock Foods. That's what he says. You know, animal foods, too much of a green footprint. And so the bugs are, hey, and they're gonna actually domesticate the bugs and have bug farms. And, you know,
I understand. We'll have insect rights before it's all over. We'll have people like Jane Goodall that are sitting with a room full of roaches, and they're going to learn to study them, and we may even communicate with roaches before this is all done. But we are about done with this segment, Wendy, so why don't you give folks some contact information?
Absolutely. They can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com, or they can request a free catalog by calling toll-free 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, and we'll talk about bugs again later.
All right. Look forward to it. We'll see you again next Thursday. Thank you for being here, Wendy, and I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom. Take a couple commercial announcements. Be right back. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I saw a headline here. You were going to talk to Wendy about it. Chemtrail flu. Have you had it yet? I believe I've had it. Absolutely. I do believe there's stuff in that items. So I just saw that, and I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting, and it's one of those conspiracy theories. On the one hand, you say, OMG. On the other hand, you say, that can't be. What's the truth of it? You know, I know there's something wrong with these chemtrails. They're real. They can't be right. There are reports they're raining down some sort of aluminum powder. I don't remember what all is allegedly in this, but aluminum, and I think boron is one of them. What their intent is unclear, but the effect is detrimental to everybody down below here. We are being subjected to heavy metals and other chemicals that shouldn't be there. They are allegedly being used for climate engineering, make the world warmer, colder, something. I'm not sure, but
no, I mean, I do believe I got sick from the chemtrails, and I'll do it briefly. I know I've seen chemtrails fall where it looked like snow in the summer, and it's like a spider web type white substance that's sticky. And when I came to Pennsylvania, this is probably 2 years ago, I noticed some white sticky stuff on my patio on the table I had out there, and I touched it, you know, to see if how sticky it was, and I did a guy thing. I actually smelled it to see if there was an odor. Next day, I was very sick, and it was bronchitis. I don't know if it was the flu per se, but there was usually if I get sick, you know, bronchitis, cold, sore throat, that type of thing, It will start with a sore throat, and I'll have that for a day, and then it'll progress from there. This was instant, and it probably took me a good month to get over it. Totally lost my voice. This was a couple years ago, and I do believe that it's because I smelled it. I was sick the next day.
I saw
coincidence?
Something.
No, I don't think so.
I saw something back. I came out of a restaurant with 3-4 other people back. I think it was in the 90s. Yeah, I was in the 90s. And this is at least 15 years ago, something like that. And we'd heard about chemtrails, and I don't know. And people said that chemtrails were intended to poison us. And I've never accepted that, because you think in terms of crop dusters. If they want to deposit something on the plants, they've got to fly directly over the plants and at low altitude, all right, and to disperse their pesticides or whatever it is they're trying to put on the plants. Because if you disperse things at a very high altitude, the air currents from 10,000 or 20,000 feet up in the air, you can drop bowling balls at 20,000 feet in the air. If you drop it directly over my home at 20,000 feet, I guarantee that bowling ball is going to come down several miles away. All right? It's not going to land on my house. It's going to land someplace. That's bowling balls. You put something that's light and, you know, that'll float in the air. And if you release it at 20,000 feet, there's no telling where that stuff's going to go. So I never accepted the idea they were intended to poison people, because it was as likely to go back to the Air Force base where the airplanes were, where they took off, as it was to land directly on whatever city they were above. I never accepted the idea of poisoning, but they were putting something out there, and we came out of this restaurant, and there were just lines of filaments, mm-hmm. filaments of 15, 20 foot long, coming down out of the sky. And
yeah.
I don't mean one or two.
It
was just a mass of these things that you could see. It was at nighttime. I don't know how much of the city got a dose of this. I didn't know what it was. I did touch it, of course. I had to see what this stuff was. And it just, as soon as you touched it, it just kind of disappeared. And I never got a jar or anything to collect it. I thought it was just strange and weird, and it did not make me sick, but it was not natural. So
did you
I
smell it?
No, not that I can recall.
I actually smelled it, so I think that's what made me sick.
No, I don't know, but something is going on. There's no question, and some people say it's bad for us. Some people say it's tolerable. I don't know what the truth is, but whatever it is, it shouldn't be a secret. If they're doing something and it can't hurt people, why are they doing it in secret? The whole idea of climate engineering, trying to keep places cool or warm or whatever, how much does that contribute to drought we've had in this country in the last several years? I mean, let Mother Nature handle the situation. Well, that would be my first impression. These people who think they're so smart, they can deal with the climate, for God's sake. They have to be out of their minds.
We got a caller, Joe, from Arkansas, Al.
All right, Joe, what up?
Yeah, I wanted to say something about this business of eating bugs. I just felt like I wanted to comment on that. And that's that I have lived on a raw food diet for over 35 years, you know, about 95% raw. When you do that, it not only improves the health of your body a lot, but it also affects your mind quite strongly. You feel much more returned to your natural instincts, much closer to natural, you know, how people are naturally supposed to be in their thinking and attitudes and so on like that. And I'm very strongly attracted to weeds and wild berries and wild fruits. You know, I've wanted to learn all the weeds and wild berries and wild fruits around here that are good to eat. I know that a lot of people think that the idea of eating weeds and wild foods and things like that is pretty strange. A lot of Americans think that way. And I'm even quite attracted to the idea of eating some kinds of raw meat, you know, such as raw beef and raw venison and raw fish. You know, I've done that occasionally, and I feel nothing wrong with that. But as far as the idea of eating bugs, you know, I do not feel attracted to that at all. It sounds to me, you know, pretty disgusting, like a thing I would want to do, you know, maybe only as a last possible resort to keep from starving. And even then, I think I'd have a hard time bringing myself to do it. you know, a faster.
Yeah, you gotta be very hungry.
Sometimes. Yeah. I've fasted for 2 weeks at some point, and even that hungry, you know, I did not at all feel like eating bugs. So whatever the base is up to, you know, with promoting this idea of eating bugs, you know, I don't feel like they're up to any of it.
I think we lost you, Joe. I'm not sure what happened, but it seemed like we lost you there for a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm in agreement with you, Joe. Yes, we can. Yeah, I'm in an agreement with you, Joe. Yeah. But you know what's interesting, though, too? There's a lot of these reality programs. I've seen them appear off and on throughout the years. You read about them and so forth, where eating bugs is what they're supposed to do. I mean, they eat live crawling worms and all kinds of things, and it's just like...
It's disgusting.
Yes,
it's like, you guys must really want that money. You understand? I mean, you really want that money, don't you? I'm not sure that I want money that bad.
They need to put some onion juice on their head.
Go soak your head in a bucket of onion juice and have some bugs and
grow some hair.
You were talking about onion juice, Melody, with vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe you've got the basis here for good salad dressing. You can use this on your head to grow hair, or maybe you can put it on your salads.
Well,
what do you think, Joe?
Women and multitasking, you know?
Well, I was just wondering if the idea of onion juice and vinegar, if that was the sort of thing you might use on your raw food.
Well, I've never done that. You know, I am bald on the top of my head, and... You know, I haven't really tried to grow my hair back. You know, I've never seriously tried to do that. But it sounds like possibly it might work because I have a friend who's a very good herbalist, and she says that cayenne pepper is a really good healing thing, that if you rub cayenne pepper into something that needs healing, that stimulates the circulation to that area and will help it heal. And so possibly the onion juice and the vinegar might do something similar on the scalp. You know, maybe it would kind of bring circulation. Maybe it's kind of hot and stimulating, would kind of bring the circulation to that area and help the hair grow back. So maybe it would work. You know, I think it's worth a try. It doesn't sound to me anything like disgusting, like eating bugs. Another thing is that when I do pick weeds to eat, you know, I have such a kind of a, you know, I feel it's a natural, you know, dislike for eating the bugs. You know, if I see bug eggs on the underside of a leaf that I pick to eat, I don't feel like eating those. You know, I feel like brushing them off before I would eat the leaf. So you know, somehow I don't feel
well,
like...
Well, it's kind of interesting. I mean,
and right for people to eat bugs.
You talk about eating weeds. I'm sure there won't be a lot of people in the audience, would be my guess, who are out eating weeds. But, I mean, I understand what you're talking about. What do you suppose you save in terms of your food budget? Is this an occasional thing? Does it make a significant difference in the cost of your food? Or is this just kind of, an anomaly?
No, I've gotten so there's a number of weeds around here that I really like. You know, I think they're as good as anything you can get in the store or grow in the garden. Like lamb's quarters is a weed that's pretty common around here. That's very tasty. Alfalfa is another weed that's pretty common around here. That's quite tasty. There's a weed that's common around here called the everlasting pea, which tastes like sweet peas. It's quite delicious. Another one is chickweed. That's got a kind of a real cool, mild flavor. It's quite delicious. And another one I like is called dock. It's got kind of a tangy, lemony sort of taste, and that's quite delicious. And actually in Europe, I understand many of these things are grown in people's gardens, but in America, you know, they're not crops that people have taken to cultivating. Mm-hmm. But as far as saving, I do it as much as I can, you know, except in winter when they're not growing. Otherwise, whenever they're readily available, whenever they're growing, I pick them and make a big salad of weeds every night, pretty much. And
I understand what you're saying, but I think your choice of words isn't as effective as it could be. We were talking about changing a roach hotel into a hungry man dinner. It's just a question of packaging. When you talk about eating weeds, right, the word weeds is, there's a certain negative connotation that's attached to that, and you're not exactly talking about eating crabgrass, for example. At least I don't think you are. you are talking about just wild plants. To say that they're, I don't know, weeds, you know, gives a little more negative connotation, where if you're talking about wild plants or non-domestic plants or whatever, I think people might understand what you're talking about and accept it with a little more enthusiasm. Eating weeds, I don't know. Eating natural, you know, just wild plants, not such a bad idea.
I think you've got a point there, Al, and I know I have to admit I'm not a very good publicity agent. I tend to like to say things in the commonest, most plain and simple sort of language that'll get the point across. You know, I haven't tried to cultivate this kind of euphemisms or elegant language or salesmanship.
Well, you'll never get elected to public office,
understandable as possible.
Yeah. Joe, you'll never get elected to public office if you're going to try to explain things simply and without using euphemisms and one thing or another like that. If you want to run for politics, you're going to have to get control of your language. You're going to have to expand it. You know, Joe, I want to thank you for your call. We're going to move on here. And if anyone else is eating weeds, we'll take your call also. Joe, thank you. All right, Melody, what is next? I want to talk about the glee people have reported when they saw gold drop again today. Why don't you give folks a quick idea of what you heard earlier this morning?
Early news reports on mainstream media, hosts sitting around their desks, very gleeful that gold dropped, and they were hoping it and saying that they were hoping gold would go lower, because what's the point of having gold? It doesn't do anything. And actually very happy that gold was had a little bit of a pullback. And at that point in time in early morning trading, it was down significantly. It was down $30. So those were the numbers that they were very happy to see. And later on, there was an interview scheduled at about 1 o'clock, and the host prior to bringing him on had made a comment about this person talking about gold, and the interview should be informative and also entertaining. And it was all day long, and it's just not today, but it's every day that gold is down. They come on, they laugh, they joke, they wish, and you made a very good point.
Well, earlier.
Earlier, yeah. You made a very good point.
It's
about,
because they've been terrorized by gold for a decade. Everyone in the stock market, for example, after we talked about it earlier before the program began, hooray, we're in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and it broke 15,000. It broke 13,000 back in 2008. In the following 5 years, the Dow Jones is up about 15%. All right. In the same 5 years, gold, even after the recent problems, is up over 85%. Everybody who's invested in the stock market in the last 5 years, you put $1,000 in the stock market back in 2008. Today, hooray, you have $1,015. No, excuse me, $1,150. But if you put $1,000 into gold, you'd have close to $1,900 in gold right now. Gold has been, I would assume, a terrifying phenomenon for everyone who has been addicted and to the paper markets, to the equities markets, to stocks. They just say, oh my God, what are we going to do? Because gold has made stock look stupid for a decade. And it will probably continue to do so into the foreseeable future. And therefore, when it goes down, it's got to be extraordinary good news to those people who have been foolish enough to invest in stocks up until now. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We do have a comment in from Murray about the chemical testing. He says, by law, the government is allowed to conduct chemical testing on us. The only requirement is that they inform your local authorities. Whether the local authorities broadcast this info is another matter altogether.
I agree. I've seen that kind of information in the past, and it triggers one of my fundamental obsessions. Again, I've been sued by the Attorney General of the state of Texas for $25,000 per day. That's $9 million per year. And it was because I was fiduciary for a trust that leased some computers and tables and chairs to a corporation that was manufacturing colloidal silver. Now, they came after us in a civil suit that was based on the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance. This was the same law you would use if you were going after heroin, cocaine, or whatever. But in this case, it was for colloidal silver, which is an inexpensive and efficient antibiotic. All right, and it doesn't appear to have the same kind of adverse consequences you'll see with conventional antibiotics. But in any case, the FDA wanted it off the market. They told the Texas Department of State Health Services and the Attorney General of Texas, go get these people. And they came after six defendants, and then they added me as the sub. The case started in 2001. They added me as a defendant in 2006. Each defendant was subject to fines of $25,000 per day, all right, which is pretty interesting. I mean, it gets you talking to yourself. And I read the relevant law. The drug laws, the definition of both drugs and medical devices, includes the phrase man or other animals, meaning that the definition of drugs that you find in federal law, Texas law, five other states we looked at, they presume the people to be animals. This is consistent with what the comment that came in a moment ago, where they said, oh, they can do whatever they want to us. And all they have to do is notify the local authorities. They can do what they want because the government presumes you and I are nothing but livestock.
It is an absolute violation of fundamental principles on which this country began. That principle is that we receive our rights, we receive our unalienable rights from our Creator, that is to say, from God, and the first business of government is to secure those God-given unalienable rights. These principles are found in the Declaration of Independence. It violates that. It is an act of genocide. Third, there are 8 stages of genocide, and I can't quote all 8 of them, but the third one is dehumanization. Dehumanization is when you declare someone to be an insect, vermin, or animal. You remove them from the status of men and women. And once you do, if you can do that effectively, then you have exposed them. You can exterminate them all. You can kill the women, the children, the non-combatants. You exterminate them like a hive of wasps. This is consistent with the comment that came in. Again, government can do what it wants. Why? Because it presumes us to be animals. And they do it. They've been doing it since the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act. That was the first instance. This has been going on for over a century in this country, right? And no one has has realized what was happening, certainly not out in the public, at least not until I went through this case in 2006. To the best of my knowledge, I'm the first layman to read the drug laws and the medical device laws, the definitions, and realize what they mean. Well, as we get that information out, hopefully more people will understand what I'm referring to. They will be shocked that government would treat us as animals, that they would pass laws that regard us as animals, and hopefully stand up and make changes that compel the government to recognize us once again as men and women made in the image of God, as per Genesis 1:26-28, and endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, as per the Declaration of Independence. If they do that, we move away from the police state. We go back to freedom and liberty. What else we got, Melody?
Eric Holder talking about freedom and liberties. Mm. He knows nothing.
How can
he has the memory loss. He needs some onions.
Who knows more about freedom and liberty than lawyers?
Yeah.
Actually, just about everybody. Children know more about it than most attorneys. It's not part of their repertoire. They may talk about it from time to time, but the very few people within the bar, you know, care one way or another about concepts like freedom or liberty. It doesn't register. But Eric Holder has been under a certain amount of stress, I'd say for at least a year now. I'm guessing it was back about a year ago that the Fast and Furious scandal broke loose, where it was discovered that Attorney General Holder had operated a program to export American guns over the border to Mexican drug cartels. And it was revealed when some of these guns came back and were used to kill at least one American Border Patrol agent, they discovered he'd been killed by guns that had been exported to drug cartels by the Attorney General's office in what was allegedly some sort of a sting operation or some sort of a intelligence gathering operation, but it blew up. In any case, Holder's been under stress since then, and here he is again. They've got an article in Washington Times. Holder has memory loss at hearing about Associated Press investigation. And he's in it up to his ears again, because the Attorney General's office has issued subpoenas to follow the phone records of journalists who work for the Associated Press, and a lot of people are very concerned about this, and there's, you know, much ado. In any case, here's the article. It says Attorney General Eric H. Holder on Wednesday described the leak about a foiled terrorist plot in Yemen to the Associated Press as a very, very serious matter that put the American people at risk. All right, they are saying somebody leaked information about this terrorist plot in Yemen, and this leak is a very, very serious matter, and it put the American people at risk. And I'm going to tell you what, we've listened to some of their defenses and explanations from some politicians who have said this is a matter of national security. And when they say national security, What they really mean is government security. They are not particularly concerned about the security of the nation, the United States of America. If they were, they would not have allowed illegal aliens to invade this country for the past 20 years, even encouraged them to do so. No one is worried about the security of the nation who is up. I won't say no one, but certainly it is not a predominant issue in Washington, D.C., whether the nation is secure. If the nation, if someone really cared about national security, why did they knock down our tariffs? Why did they cause our industries, at least some of them, and some of our jobs, to be exported to foreign countries? Why are they allowing illegal aliens to come in and suppress our wage scales and our standard of living and take the jobs that nobody wants? That's the explanation. That's the excuse. Who did those jobs before? Who did the jobs before the Mexicans came up here? The illegal aliens. Who did those jobs? We did them. What the illegal aliens take are not the jobs no one wants. They take the wages no one wants. That's what happens. Those jobs got done. They just got done at a higher price. Right? Now the illegal aliens, they do them at a lower price. And the net result is it depresses the standard of living for all of us. First point is anyone who claims in government they are concerned with national security, bunk. They are concerned with government security. And that's what animates Mr. Holder's defense of taking records from phone records from journalists in the Associated Press. But he goes on in this article. He says it's a very, very serious matter to put the American people at risk. We're not at risk. Government's at risk. Not the people, it's the government. Not the same thing. But he did not remember when he recused himself from the investigation into it. Did not put his recusal in writing and never told the White House. What Holder has done, he has been charged. It's been alleged that he's the one who's responsible for capturing the phone records of the Associated Press journalists. And he said, oh, no, I'm not. I recused myself from that back. Well, I know I did it. I didn't put it in writing, you understand. I didn't notify the White House. But I recused myself back sometime. It's just nonsense. You know, it's so stupid. It's like dealing with children at times. Whose baseball broke the window? You know, and the kids are... The explanation is crazy. How can the man be in charge of the Department of Justice and not remember when he recused himself from an important issue? He said, I'm out of the loop. Not me. The question becomes, how much longer will Mr. Holder remain in office? He's skating on very thin ice. In fact, he may be skating on fictional ice. It may not have any thickness whatsoever. And it's like the Butterfly McQueen defense. I don't know nothing about stealing phone records from the Associated Press, Ms. Melody. What do you think, Ms. Melody? Is Mr. Holder likely to last for the balance of the Obama administration, or do you suppose he's due to leave in the next little while?
Yesterday I read a comment from Rush Limbaugh, and he says there's no way that they will go after Obama or the likes of Eric Holder at this stage of the game. And he basically said that no one in America is ready to take suit after an African-American. And he says it's not in our gameplay at this point in time. And so, you know, he has it's something to think about.
Well, there's that. That's one excuse for it. But I'll tell you another one. It may be that the Republicans don't want him gone. He has now become such a buffoon. He'll never have any credibility. I doubt that Holder will regain any measure of credibility over the course of the next several years. He will be a wounded attorney general, and he'll be a great issue for Republicans, at least potentially. he'll be a great issue in 2014. 14. They can sit back and say, look at what the Attorney General has done here. The guy says he doesn't even remember when he's recused himself, and nobody else knew he recused himself. He didn't put it in writing, and he didn't tell the one, but he claims he recused himself. It's all it's nonsense, and it's perfect for the 2014 election, which means even the Republicans, rather than do the right thing and simply say this guy is a buffoon, get him out of here. I don't care if he's black. I don't care if he's a Republican, a Democrat. I don't care what he is. Get him out. Everybody's got an angle on how they can exploit his presence in the Department of Justice. And so if politics makes for strange bedfellows, it also makes for a very immoral world. Somebody ought to just do the right thing. Can this guy get him out? Obama ought to get him out.
I mean, he gets away with the Fast and Furious. You know, they probably think they can get away with anything.
I agree.
And a lot of this is distraction from Benghazi, because that does go up to Obama.
And
Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So you're having, I think you are having all this IRS situation, the IRS situation, the AP situation, the Eric Holder situation. Heck, at the hearing yesterday, you had one congressman that had his grandbaby sitting on his lap. It just goes to show you there's no seriousness at all. It's just, I don't know what it's for. It's a waste of time,
money,
and energy.
It's for money. It's not a waste of money. They're making good money, Melody. I guarantee they're making more money. Most of them are making, many of them, I can't say most, but many of them are making far more money being a congressman than they ever did before in their life. And they're not doing it just on the basis of their salary. Right? They get tips, Melody. They get political campaign contributions called bribes, but they are getting, many of them are getting rich.
Well, at
rich,
least they
rich.
Should be able to show up to the hearings and act like a congressman or a senator or whatever, instead of having your grandbaby sitting on your lap, crying, distracting, and making the whole thing a comical situation.
I know, it's like a conventional rap artist.
Yeah, it reminds me a lot of the Clinton administration.
Well, it reminds me of a convention of rap artists. Everybody's got their hat turned on sideways, their pants down around their hip bones, and they're trying to act like they're cool, and they're just, I don't know, acting out. They need more Ritalin. We need to put our Congress on Ritalin. We'll talk about Ritalin for Congressman tomorrow when we return. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I want to thank you for listening. We will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank Richardson.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.